Well, the Greater Sydney lockdown could last at least another 6 weeks. That's according to one report suggesting the New South Wales government is modelling the financial cost of keeping Sydney shut until mid-September. The New South Wales State Treasurer, Dominic Perrottet, has already called for more support from Canberra, including the reintroduction of JobKeeper, which the Morrison government says is not needed. On another front, Nationals MP George Christensen supported the anti-lockdown protests in several cities over the weekend, saying that, quote, civil disobedience is the only response to laws that restrict freedom. Barnaby Joyce is leader of the Nationals and Deputy Prime Minister. Barnaby Joyce, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran. It's great to talk to you again.
Yes, this is our first chance to speak to you as Deputy PM and congratulate you.
Sorry, Fran, I've had my feet under the desk just getting across, making sure that it's not all colour, but it's back to work.
Yeah, well, let's get on with it then. There's no evidence that the Sydney outbreak is being contained, really. We've had more than 300 new cases in Sydney reported on the weekend. You live in New South Wales.
Yep.
What's your take? Has this lockdown failed? And if so, why?
No, it hasn't. It's going through a process of suppression. It's not as in control as we would want, but it is certainly not out of control. And I think that's a very important point. We've always got to make sure we have a clear understanding of where a place such as the United Kingdom is, with 126,000 deaths, I think they had. If you looked at what our average would be as an OECD country, would have had around about 30,000 deaths. Now, every death we've had in Australia is a tragedy. But, you know, we've had around 1,000. Now, that is not something for every one of those families, that is a tragedy. But in a view from a distance, you can say that Australia is still doing a vastly better job. And from time to time, you are going to be challenged with certain events which you have to manage. Without it being a war, it has certain aspects that are similar to it. And nothing is a perfect battle. Nothing is a perfect outcome. Nothing is a perfect front. At certain times, you get breakthroughs. At certain times, in certain areas, things go against you. But it's how you manage it on a macro setting across the nation which matters. And in that instance, it's going well. And I've been pushing for many in regional areas, and I know the Prime Minister, and now we are delivering on rolling out well in excess of 3,000 pharmacies as a further mechanism in that battle to try and make sure that we cover areas. The good thing about pharmacies, especially in southwestern Sydney, is the cultural affinity and the ethnic affinity many have to the communities that are there. And this is going to allow us a better capacity to be more nuanced in how we are managing this issue. And we've also now had the advice for people over 18, take what vaccine you can. Now, AstraZeneca comes with a risk, but an incredibly small risk, a 1 in a million risk, which is around about the same risk as getting struck by lightning, and I think about 1,400 times safer than driving a car. So, you know your risk, but see it in proportion.
And but with the state of the pandemic and the spread of Delta at the moment in Sydney, the Prime Minister says it'll be up to the lockdown to stop the spread. He said vaccines can help, but the lockdown, you need the lockdown to be effective. Is he signalling the federal government wants the Premier to lock down even harder in Sydney? Maybe even adopt Dan Andrews' call for a ring of steel? What do you think?
Well, I can't read the Prime Minister's mind, and obviously we'll also...
Presume you talk to him, you're the Deputy PM, that's what I was assuming.
I do talk to him, and in a few moments after this I'll be talking to him again. In fact, I talk to him regularly. But once more, the deliberations of the National Security Committee are not something I can talk about, not unless I'm contemplating up to 15 years in jail.
Do you think the New South Wales, the Sydney lockdown should be harder?
I believe that they have difficult circumstances in front of them where they're doing their very best to manage. Now, it's a issue, but it is not a breakout. It is not the sort of circumstances that we see in other countries around us and even other countries in Europe. Remember, England has vaccinations where people up to their first vaccination, I think it's up to about 90%. Yet at night, they still have, tragically, 100 people dying. So you can't just say vaccinations. It's also in sort of your social interaction And as the vaccines roll out, and we're now heading to around about 11.5 million inoculations. Now, that's not saying everybody's had two, but we are up to 11.5 million, and people who have had one are vastly less susceptible than people who have had none. And as we roll that out, then you will get more of a transition from lockdowns and to a form of suppression which takes into account a wider section of the community that has had an inoculation.
And so will Australia at that point have to come to terms with the, giving up on the ambition of zero cases and zero deaths and do what countries like England are doing, learn to live with the virus and die from the virus?
I've said that all the way along, Fran, it's a very, very bitter pill, but you must be honest with people. It's like saying we're going to get rid of the flu. You're not. You've got to manage it. Or it's like saying you're going to get rid of anybody ever getting measles. You're not. You've got to manage it to the best of your ability. It is completely impossible that you will have the eradication of COVID in its range of variants. Because that is being dishonest with the people and not preparing them for the reality that, yes, people will get sick. And tragically and unfortunately, yes, people will die. But to tell people another story is not telling the truth.
Yeah. So we're waiting to hear that story, I suppose, when we get those figures from the Doherty Institute. But that depends on vaccination rollout. Meanwhile, former Queensland Premier Campbell Newman has quit the LNP. He's accused the coalition of abandoning its principles in the way it's responded to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with him? Have Liberal and National politicians gone too far when it comes to lockdowns and border closures? Are they eroding people's freedoms unnecessarily? What's your view?
I respect Campbell, but I don't, to be quite frank, I don't respect this. Maybe it's a statement of valour and bravery to say, well, I'm out. But I would have really respected it if, whilst the LNP conference was on, he came along to the people who formally made him the Premier of Queensland, to the people who handed out his how-to-vote cards, to his members and colleagues, and presented himself at that venue and said, OK, I'm going to be upfront with you and I'm going to explain why I have an issue and why my next actions are going to be as they are. Obviously, to make an announcement in the middle of a conference without telling anybody is not the first move of a person who's doing something that is showing sort of some form of political bravery. It's obviously timing is for damage, and why would you do that to the people who formerly supported you? Now I can understand people's political views change, but your first move you make in your new political career is a reflection of the type of politics that you will follow, and the first move was one of I'm going to kick you.
Well, political bravery is one thing. What about political responsibility? Nationals MP George Christensen attended an anti-lockdown rally in Mackay. That was a legal protest. There's no public health orders or lockdowns in Queensland at the moment. But he did voice support for the demonstrations in New South Wales and Victoria too, in Melbourne and Sydney, which did breach public health orders, and argued that civil disobedience is moral and the, quote, only response to laws that restrict freedom. You are his leader. Do you have a problem with those sentiments from George Christensen?
I don't agree with them, but I do. And
Would
George
you condemn
is always
them?
I don't agree with them. I mean, how far do you want to go? I don't agree.
Well,
with
I
them.
Want to know: can we afford to have a member of parliament endorsing behaviour that could lead to even more infections and even longer lockdowns?
So let's be realists about this. Everybody has liberty to say what they want. What do you intend for me to do? To go up there without knowing they were going to say it, to tackle him? Do you think that would that actually assist the process by reinforcing a sense of you don't have the liberty to say what you like? We're all intelligent, sentient beings, Fran, and so are your listeners. And they can hear something from a range of views and say, well, that sounds like a load of rubbish and I don't agree with it. And just because a person says something, all that shows is that they have the liberty and the capacity to say it. It's up to you whether you agree with it or not. And you can listen to other opinions, and here's one, here's mine. No, if you do not go down the path of suppression, if you go down a path of basically a free-for-all, then you're going to end up in the same situation as Indonesia or where England was or where the United States was or where basically the vast majority of the world was, where a virus is going to spread and people are going to die, and therefore you have a responsibility to people's lives. And the
can we afford a member of parliament then, an elected member of the government, signalling that these kind of protests are okay?
What you're implying there, Fran, is that any person in Parliament has the capacity to tell George Christensen what to do. I mean, are you proposing that we lock him up? I mean,
I'm not proposing you lock him up. I'm just wondering.
You're no further ahead, Fran, than I am.
All right. In the meantime, a lot of people need a lot of help. The New South Wales government's expected to lodge a formal request for the reintroduction of JobKeeper. Given the great success of the wage subsidies last year, why is the federal government so reluctant to do it again? It works so well, clearly.
Because JobKeeper is something that goes across the nation, and it's incredibly expensive. So you can do this. Remember, all the things we put on our credit card, Fran, you will never pay off. I will never pay off. My children probably won't pay off. We'll be looking at my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. So you must always balance this up with a sense of prudence, because the whims of what we say now, if we were really authentic, we would say, well, we'll repay that in our lifetime as well. And when I come back to, for instance, I'm being parochial here just for the point of stirring you up, and say, well, the way we're going to pay for all this back is we're going to have budget cuts, and we're going to take half the budget off the ABC because the pain's going to go all around as we try to repay this, you'd be jumping all up and down, and so would everybody at Ultimo, because so we've got to be a little bit prudent, because the money we spend now is the money we don't have later on, and we have to deal with that, because that's part of how we deal with the virus. It's all very well saying, well, we're going to throw money at the door, but there comes a time we've actually got to pay the people who lent you the money back. We have to be a lot more targeted in how we do that, and that is what the Prime Minister and the Treasurer are doing. It's a lot more targeted, a lot more precise, because we just don't have unlimited funds, or unlimited borrowing. You just can't do that.
Barnaby Joyce, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Fran. Always a pleasure.
Barnaby Joyce is Nationals leader and Deputy Prime Minister. And just in talking about AstraZeneca vaccine there, he talked about the low instance of it. There is very low chance of developing thrombosis as a side effect. It may occur in around 4 to 6 people in every million after being vaccinated. That's according to the Department of Health.